Well, good morning. As you'll see in a minute, we are in the book of Acts, which this is the last Sunday that we'll be speaking in the book of Acts. It's not going to come as any surprise to you that I'm going to say I'm really going to miss it. I just have loved going through this. There's part of me that says we'll just start over again. We'll just start back in chapter one. And there's several reasons for that. I really feel like the book of Acts is an important book in the Bible. All the books are important, but especially for now, because it really shows us how we are to live out this thing that we call faith in Christ, this thing that we call believing in Jesus. It's one of those words that we say sometimes, oh, I believe in Jesus, I'm a Christian, but then, well, what does that mean? How do I walk that out? And as we've been going through the book of Acts, it gives us some real clear, down-to-earth, even simple enough, I can understand some of it, ways to walk that out. And as we finish this book, it's not going to come as too much of a surprise that we're going to kind of wrap up with a review. I do want to let you know that next week we're going to do an introduction on the book of Psalms. We're not going to go through the book of Psalms like we went through the book of Acts. It was written differently, and so we're going to go through it differently. We'll go through more of in a topical sense, and I'm excited about that. I'll just let you know when we finish the book of Acts in several months, probably even more than just several months, I'm going to say I really am sad that we're done with the book of Acts. Maybe we should go back over it again, but that's just part of, I think, going through his word. I think it should be good and new and now every day. Amen. Amen. So as we go through this last section, we're actually going to start at the very beginning. As we end, we're going to start at the beginning. It's a good way to end, I guess. I don't know what the logic of that is, but if we've been going through the book of Acts, there have been a few major themes that we've come back to. And one of the major themes we actually got from chapter 1. And chapter 1 says, on one occasion while he was eating with them. Back in chapter 1, Luke was kind of doing a review. Remember, Luke was writing a letter. He had written the letter of the Gospel of Luke. And then now he's kind of writing the sequel. And he was doing kind of a review. So this is the risen Jesus, but not yet ascended Jesus. And while he was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. This wasn't new information to the disciples. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he was saying, wait in Jerusalem for that. Now, what they were waiting for was Pentecost. But the application that we've been going back to throughout this book has been, we're going to wait for our daily Pentecost, our daily filling, our daily baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to need that. We're going to need the Holy Spirit if we're going to walk this thing out, being a believer, being a follower. And so he says, wait for the promise which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then there was a misunderstanding between the disciples and what Jesus was saying, and it has to do with the kingdom. They were thinking of the physical kingdom of Israel. Does this mean that the physical kingdom of Israel is going to now be in charge of the whole Roman world like we were hoping? And he says, no, you're misunderstanding. It's not the dates and the time that I'm going to tell you. This is a different kingdom. And this is something we've been coming back to chapter after chapter, that there's a different kingdom that we can function in. We still have to function in this worldly kingdom of the United States or wherever you're from in the world. If you go back home to countries, and we have people from countries in Africa and Asia and South America, and we still have to function there, and we still have to do these jobs and go to school and those kinds of things, but there's a different kingdom that the Holy Spirit is going to allow us to experience. There's a different kingdom that we're going to be able to function in. And functioning in that kingdom, and here's the other word that we're going to kind of review this morning, is going to be good news. It's good news that we're able to function in this kingdom. And so he says, yeah, amen. When you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to, I don't want to say transport ourselves, because then you'll think, you know, Star Trek and something like that. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live on this new plane and this new perspective of the kingdom of God, even while we're in the kingdom of this earth as well. And so we're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. That's going to allow us to function on it with joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. It's going to allow us to function in that. And then not only are we going to function in that, but we're going to take that and we're going to witness. Hey, everyone, first to those closest to us, our brothers and our sisters, our moms and our dads, our children, our wives, our husbands, our roommates, our closest co-workers. Hey, listen, there's good news. We're going to witness this new kingdom, first to those in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I hope you give me some freedom. I've kind of mashed together our application with the application that they were functioning in back in the first century. I think that that's okay. Is that all right? Okay. So this review, this wrapping up, we're not going to go back to chapter 1, but we don't want to lose this idea. And actually, this is repeated over and over, not only throughout the New Testament, but throughout the Bible in general. And that is that we have this ability because of what Jesus has done. And it's in the Old Testament, it's because of what Jesus is going to do, to live in relationship with a most holy and most righteous and most loving God, the creator of this world. And we're able to live not just in a relationship, but in a loving relationship. And that's good news. And we're supposed to take that good news to those around us. And so we're supposed to live in this new type of relationship, first with those closest to us, and then out from there in concentric circles. And so this is the main point that we're going to wrap up in. I'm not going to have to reach very far as we look at this last section of Scripture, because this is how Paul has been living. This is how he's been walking his life out, and this is how he ends his life as well, and this is how the book of Acts ends. So as we pick up the story in Acts chapter 28, Paul's been transferred to Rome. Remember the shipwreck, it wasn't easy getting there, but he's there, and he's waiting to be present his defense to Caesar himself. And Caesar at this point was Nero. And so where we pick up the story in Acts chapter 28 is he's in Rome, and we find out what he does at the beginning. As we often do, we are going to read through this section of Scripture. And if you would like and are able, let's stand while we read the Word of God. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the custom of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you, but we want to hear what your views are. For we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Some people might want to know, why do we stand when we read the word of God? One, I think it's respect. But we obviously read the in your morning devotions. I don't think you've got to stand up and read. And it's good to, you know, I was an eighth grade social studies teacher, and kids are always falling asleep in an eighth grade class, and so maybe this will, you know, aliven you up a little bit. But mostly, it's because we want to honor His word. So as we begin with the end, remember that we could call this book, and we called it throughout our time, not the Acts of the Apostles, which most of your Bibles call it, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to continue to apply this idea of what it looks like to function in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because as we end here, this idea that Paul is proclaiming the kingdom of God, proclaiming the good news, we want to recognize that he's going, as 2 years he's there, he's having to wake up each day and ask the Holy Spirit to come in power. It's fairly common to ask Jesus to come into our heart. To ask Jesus to come. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. We need to wait on the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, I'll just be honest, I'll get through part of my day and I'll go, what's missing here? And what's missing is I'm not asking the Holy Spirit for power. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, and we need to do this every day. We need to wait for this promise. It's a promise that he told the disciples, wait on this. This is the deposit. This is what's going to get you to be able to function in my kingdom. And then the second thing that he continues to say is go. So wait, receive that power, and then go. Now, don't take this too literally, and don't take a formula, because then you'll be like, I'm sorry, I can't come to work today, I'm waiting. We can, in faith, begin to walk some of this out, but it's not just for ourselves, there's a going. And as we've followed Paul through the book of Acts, we've seen this played out. We've seen him being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then we've seen him go. We've seen him go at home, in his home church. We've seen him travel and go. We've seen him go and be able to be his witness and be filled while he's in prison and while he's free. We've seen him send the disciples, his traveling companions, on ahead, and him to function in this alone. And we've seen him with others as well. We've seen him play out this functioning in the kingdom and proclaiming the kingdom with Jews and with Gentiles, with men and with women, with prisoners, fellow and the guards, and even with governors. And although it's not included in the book of Acts, I think that we can assume that he did this with Caesar himself. So this is what we've been following through. But remember, we want to apply this. We want to apply that we can function in the kingdom of God. And by the way, this week I had, maybe I didn't have a little extra time, but I took some extra time. And I thought, you know, in Matthew, he says kingdom of heaven. And most of the rest of the Bible, it says the kingdom of God. And so I thought, you know, I should have some sort of statement about, are those the same thing or are they different? And so I've got something for you. Are you ready? I think it's the same thing. There's nothing in there that tells you exactly, but I did read some compelling. Matthew's speaking mostly to a Jewish audience, and for you to say the word God or Yahweh would be presumptuous, offensive. And so he uses the word kingdom of heaven. I think it's the same thing. If I'm proved wrong, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say I'm sorry. That's what we do when we're proved wrong. That's where I'm at today. But how do we now? We've watched Paul do these things. Is it possible for us to function in this level, this new area called the kingdom of God? Yeah, it is. But what we've continued to come back to, it's not dependent upon the reality of the kingdom that we're walking in. We're in this already, but not yet. But we're able to do that. That's why not everybody that becomes a Christian has to go into full-time ministry. And not everybody that becomes a Christian has to fall into this formula, because we can function in the kingdom of God. And I know the junior high students left, but when you're in middle school, you can function in the kingdom of God. Do you guys remember middle school? I don't remember. I mean, I remember a little of middle school, but because I taught it, that's miraculous. And you can function in the kingdom of God if you're in high school. Now, you don't have any, high school students are here. You don't really have too much of a choice of what you do each day. Yet you can function in the kingdom of God because we can rise to a different plane because of the power of the Holy Spirit. You can work in an office and function in the kingdom of God. You can work in the trades. You can be welding or plumbing or doing electrical work or carpentry and function in the kingdom of God. You can be an undergrad student. You can be getting your master's degree. You can be getting your PhD. You can be getting your master's degree wondering if you should be getting your PhD. You can be getting your PhD and wishing all that you had to do was your master's degree. You can be working overtime or just laid off and be functioning in the kingdom of God. You can be retired or working your very first job. You can be consulting. You can be staying home with the kids. You can be working from home. The idea of the kingdom of God is that when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, everything that we do takes on a new meaning. And the meaning is that we grow in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we grow in our love for those who are around us, first closest, and then in concentric circles out from there, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea. This is what we see with Paul, and this is what we want. As we end, we want to begin this new every day, this walking out of the kingdom. This was an abrupt ending. This is it. Remember, we've been following Paul. It's been very clear we're following him to stand trial in front of Caesar. That we don't even know. We're 2 years away from it. This was a very abrupt ending, and although I'm a little bit salty towards Luke, because I'm like, come on, Luke. I want to know. And the Holy Spirit's like, too bad. There's a reason for it, and the reason is we are to continue this story. We are to continue writing this story as believers, as disciples, and as disciple makers. And as we make disciples, then when we come together in larger gatherings than just our immediate family, that's called church. And we're to continue to walk this out when it comes to church. Somebody sent me a meme this week that said, "Don't you love it when a preacher after 15 minutes says, 'Well, now let's begin'?" It's been 20 minutes. Let's look at Acts 28, verse 17. We're not really beginning, because that's the main point. But Paul, 3 days after he gets to Rome, he gathers the local Jewish leaders. And he gathers the local Jewish leaders, I think, for two reasons. One is, this is his mode of operation. He goes first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. This is what he's done. Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, every city that he goes to, this is what he does. Now, he's on house arrest, so he has to ask them to come. But there's another reason why he's asking them to come, and he's got some explaining to do, right? There's a fairly pretty big issue between he and the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem. Remember, when Festus took over after Paul being held in captivity in Caesarea for 2 years, he goes to Jerusalem to meet with the Jewish leaders, and first things they say is, "Hey, what about Paul? We want him dead." So Paul's assuming that he has some explaining to do. So he gathers them, and he says, "Hey, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans, but I didn't do anything wrong, and I didn't mean to do anything wrong. And if I was wrong, I know what to do. I'm going to apologize, but I don't think I did anything wrong. And the Romans took me as a prisoner. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death." So the Romans wanted to release him, but the Jews objected, and they said, "No, we want him to die." Remember, they asked Festus to have him transferred. It was no question here what they wanted. They wanted him killed. And so Paul's creating a defense. "So I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar," Paul says. "I certainly did not intend to make any charges against my own people. I didn't mean to cause any problems with you. I love the Jewish people. I am Jewish. It's like, I don't want to cause problems for Americans. I'm American. You guys are my people. I don't want to cause any problems. And so it was for this reason that I asked to see you and talk with you. Just to make sure we're okay. Are we okay?" Oh, yeah. And there's one more thing when we're functioning in the kingdom. Because I think Paul wants to make sure that they're okay. But if they're not okay, whether they're okay or whether they're not okay, Paul's on a higher plane. Paul's got a higher reason, a different reason. He's living in peace, he wrote these words, as far as it is up to him, with everyone. But whether he's living in peace or not, he's going to proclaim the good news. He's going to proclaim in his words and in his deeds the gospel. And he says, "It's because of the hope of Israel that I'm bound with this chain." Now, that may not mean anything to us, but to the Jews, it meant something. It meant the Messiah. "It's because of the Messiah that I'm in these chains. And as we'll hear from their response, there's no question of what he's saying. It's because of Jesus that I'm in these chains. Now, just like the rest of his defenses, I think there was a lot more that he said here And then the next time they meet, he witnesses all day long. What could he possibly say? He would say, "You're my people." Yet when you offer the blood of sheep and goats and bulls and rams, it just covers over your sin. Jesus came to take it away. I think what he told them was, we're all guilty. We're separated from God. That's why we look around and we see such pain and suffering and a lack of hope and a lack of love and division and fighting. But there's good news. Jesus came to not just cover that over, but to take it away and give us a new kingdom, a new place. This is the good news. I think he presented it. Do you think he presented it? I think he did. This idea, the hope of Israel, just isn't one statement. This is sermon series, and it's all good news. As we look back to what Jesus proclaimed, it's not for you to know the times, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the death and resurrection, and then ascension of Jesus. We can go back to chapter 1. We could go back to chapter 2. We could go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. The good news is the same. It's because of the hope of Israel that I'm bound with this chain. The beginning, the middle, and the end is Jesus. It's the beginning and the middle and the end of the kingdom. It's the beginning and the middle and the end of our salvation. And I think Paul is spending quite a bit of time talking to them about that. It's the hope of Israel. Verse 21, which is really, this is an amazing verse. They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you." What? Maybe they got lost in a shipwreck. Just a thought. "And none of our people who have come there has reported or said, not anything about you, but anything bad about you." Maybe the people who were coming to say something bad about him also got in a shipwreck. I don't know. It was a bad storm. "But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." So they know the issues. They know that this has to do with Jesus being the Messiah, and they're interested in hearing about it. So they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. Most believe that he is renting a house, and although a Roman soldier has to be with him, he's in his own rented house, and so he has some freedom. And he witnesses to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. The beginning, the middle, and the end is about Jesus. And he gets to spend a whole day doing it. Again, come on, Luke. Give us a little bit more. I don't think he does, because we're supposed to fill it in. We're not speaking to the Jewish leaders in Rome. We're speaking to our coworkers, our moms, our dads, our children, our aunts and our uncles, and it's going to look differently. Explaining the kingdom of God. Explaining that we need to repent because the kingdom of God is available, is going to look differently. And so I don't think he gives us that information so that we don't create a formula, because you know we would create a formula. And so we try, but we do have this higher calling. Be the best carpenter that you can be. Be the best PhD student you can be. Be the best engineer. Be the best welder. And always have an opportunity. Always take the opportunity to explain that the kingdom of God is available. And so when the day goes terrible, or when the day goes great, the kingdom of God is always there. It's a constant. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. Outside of Jesus, Paul's probably the greatest evangelist in the world ever to live. The guy, wow. He has a whole day with people. And we would think everybody believes. This is a slam dunk. But not everybody believes. And in the kingdom, one of the reasons why we can have peace is because the outcome is not our job. Our job is the obedience. Our job is to do what the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring reconciliation. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw those whom the Holy Spirit has called to believe. This is where there's peace, right? The things that we worry about, the things that we stress about, are usually the things that are not in our control. We can't do anything about them, but we better stress about them, because who else is going to worry about them? It's my job to worry about that. That's not in the kingdom. In the kingdom is we can do what we have been called to do and then go to sleep. And as Psalm 4 says, we can lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone are God, and you make us dwell in safety. That's a kingdom of God scripture. I know, we're not in Psalms yet. We'll get there. Verse 25, they disagreed among themselves and began to leave. After Paul made this final statement, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet. So he's presenting the kingdom and they're arguing and saying, we don't believe that. And he brings up this scripture in Acts 28 verse 26. Go, and it's from Isaiah 6. And he says, go to this people and say, this is the Jewish people. You'll be ever hearing and never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. And the final statement that Paul says is, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. And that's been Paul's mode of operation. This verse, I believe, has been misinterpreted sometimes to think, you know what, the Jewish nation doesn't matter anymore. The Jews don't matter. I think that's a misunderstanding of this. And actually, I feel like the Lord even gave me a more encouraging interpretation. And that is, for the Jewish people, the story is not over. The history's not been written. There's more to be written. It's not over. They weren't believing. And so this was true of them. Sometimes people apply this to others that they're trying to witness to, and they say, well, they just had a hard heart, or they listened, but they weren't understanding. And they saw, but they weren't really seeing with spiritual eyes. And I think that's a correct interpretation. But here's what I feel like the Lord said to me is, we can trust and have faith that for the Jews, the story is not over. And you can trust and have faith that the story is not over for your loved one. I don't know who that is here for today, a parent or a child. The story is not over. The story is still being written for the Jews and also for our loved ones, for our aunts and our uncles and our brothers and our sisters. The story is still being written, and it's not over. Amen? Amen. I think that's good news. Amen. Verse 29, you see it in brackets there. This is what's considered a textual variant. We talk about this when we come to them. The New Testament is written from mostly Greek manuscripts. And manuscripts are found all over the world, and they've all got all kinds of dates. This kind of seems incomplete. And so verse 29 actually is written in some manuscripts, and it says this: "And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves." And it's thought of that the later manuscripts, the manuscripts that have been found from 400, 500, 600, 700 AD, have this. And they're thinking that a scribe probably added it, because the early manuscripts don't have it. And so I'm just telling you that the manuscripts are different. But the most important thing is that it doesn't change any content. Here it says they disagreed among themselves in verse 25 and began to leave after Paul made his final statement. 29 says, "And when they said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves." It's not a content issue. And so we don't mind saying that we're not exactly sure what the original said. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He only cared about his tent making and whether he was selling a lot of tents, a lot of leather goods. I think he was doing it. He's a hard worker, everything that we know about Paul. But what he was doing is that he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. I taught social studies for 18 years. I hope that people remember me as a good social studies teacher. I really do. I even hope that people remember a little bit about the Civil War, and maybe a little bit about the Revolutionary War, and maybe a little bit about the Alamo, because I love that story. But I want people to remember me as an 8th grade teacher who loved them with the love of Jesus Christ. So what you're doing as you go through, whether it's an undergrad, grad student, whether you're working a manual job, in you may be in high school, whatever you're doing, proclaim the kingdom of God and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is what allows teachers and professors and construction workers and welders and students to not get burned out. This is what allows you to continue to do every day what the Lord is calling you to do, because there's a higher calling. As I said, this is not the first time that we've heard this. Exodus 19:6, actually I watched a sermon by a guy named Peter Sukaharo this week, where he said, this is where the kingdom began. In Exodus, the Jews were getting their land, and he was called a kingdom of priests back in Exodus. We'll look at some of this as we go through the Psalms. Mark 1. John comes and proclaims the kingdom. John's put in prison. And Jesus goes into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. We can be in his kingdom, whether we're John being put into prison or traveling around Galilee or West Lafayette. The kingdom of God has come near. John 14, Jesus is going away, is telling them he's going to go away. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. the kingdom of God does have an eternal reward. You may get to the place in your day, in your week, in your month, where you're not sure, can you take it anymore? You have a hope that God is preparing a place for you through Jesus Christ. And He will come to take you to Myself, that where I am, you may also be. This is the Holy Spirit that is leading us until that day. We can ask, we can wait for power of the Holy Spirit. It's throughout the Scriptures. Now, there's a misunderstanding, as there often is. But God, I thought everything would go well. I thought I would get that job. I thought I would get that raise. Thomas says, how, we don't know the way. We need to know the formula. I'm with you. And Jesus gives us better than a formula. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The beginning, the middle, and the end starts with Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father. No one enters the kingdom of God outside of Me. No one enters outside of Me. It flip-flops this world. Beginning, middle, and end of Jesus. Entering into the kingdom of God, it flip-flops the world. In order to save our lives, we lose it. We lose control. You take it, Jesus. I'll do what You call me to do. The darkness that is all over this world becomes light. There's always lists of the greatest fears. Some of them are public speaking. I don't think pastor's the worst job in the world. Public speaking's not the worst thing that you can... Death, though, is always the fear. You know, in the kingdom of God, there's no fear of death. It can't hurt us. One day we're going to be here in the kingdom, functioning in this already and not yet. And then the next day we're going to die? We don't have to fear it. Shalyn really doesn't like it when I say this, but just put me in the back of my Tacoma. Take my body wherever, because it doesn't matter. I'm in the kingdom. Death can't hurt you. And I'm really mostly serious about that. Don't pay for the the minivan or whatever they use now. The weak are made strong. Are you feeling weak? Are you feeling like, I can't do it? I've come to the end. In the kingdom of God, that's where you're strong. You can't do it. You've come to that realization that in the kingdom it's flip-flopped. The poor are made rich. You can lose your company, or you can Alibaba, the company that we talked about a few weeks ago. Doesn't matter. Who exalts himself will be humbled. Humble yourself and you'll be exalted. In the kingdom, things are flip-flopped. The least will be greatest. We need to become like little children. In our lives, as we proclaim by our words and our deeds, this new kingdom, we'll experience a peace and a joy in our daily lives. We're in an already, but not yet. I'm not saying it's not going to matter. I'm just saying there's a plane that we can rise to. We have an opportunity to believe and receive this kingdom. Do you want, when we talk about this, do you really want to function in this kingdom of this world? It just seems dirty and messy and gross and just a total waste of time. I think that's true. So for two whole years, Paul does this. I do just want to mention, this ends abruptly. We do think that Paul stood before Nero and actually was acquitted. Most people think that he was set free. While he was there, though, in addition to meeting everybody, he writes Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Timothy, probably, maybe that was after his release. Then he's released for a few years. But remember, there was a great fire in Rome. And the great fire was blamed on the Christians, and it was probably as a result of that. Paul's taken back prisoner. This time he's put in the Mamertine prison, which is where we think he pins 2 Timothy, and eventually is martyred as a result of that. But as we're walking in the kingdom, house arrest, Mamertine prison, released, we're proclaiming the good news. Death can't touch us. We're on a different plane. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do that. We need it today. Well, tomorrow morning, get out of bed. But before you get out of bed, ask for the Holy Spirit to empower you. Let's stand together and ask the Holy Spirit now. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the power that is in your word. We thank you for the truth, for the encouragement that's in your word. But Holy Spirit, now we ask you to come and empower us. Lord, for those who are feeling weak, I pray that you would make them strong. For those who are feeling poor, I pray that you would enrichen their lives. For those who are feeling like they're failures, I pray that you would come and lift them up and show them your great love for them. Holy Spirit, I ask that those here this morning would be those who recognize that through your Holy Spirit, you can bring power and raise us up to this new place. And as we go from here, I pray that we would be your witnesses. That we would show this love and care, that we would spread this truth first to those who are closest to us and then going out from there. Lord, we ask that your light would go out from this place in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. It's really appropriate to pray this final song, closing song. Holy Spirit, living breath of God.
Lord, God, renew.
Amen. Before we close,
can I encourage you?
So we have these service group signups, right? What percentage of people who consider themselves, if you're a visitor, this, it's not you. If you're not sure that you consider the Upper Room your home church, this isn't you. But if you consider the Upper Room your home church, just throw out a percentage of how many people should sign up for a service group. Maybe, I don't know, in 100, right? And I know all of you are eager to do this, and I know that you do. I watch, and but would you sign up for us? And so the leaders of those groups, it will really help them so that they don't have to call and say, hey, do you want to sign up for our service group? Because that's kind of a little awkward, because then we're like, because God loves a cheerful giver, and we don't want to make anyone. But if you would all sign up, that would be really, really helpful. We will have a meal served off to my left, and we'll have prayer in the office prayer room if you would like prayer. Holy Spirit, we do pray that you would come and abide within us, and then we would go out. Lord, we thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit that we experience and that we can dwell with. Lord, we thank you for the food. We thank you for your provision in our lives. We give you all praise and all thanks. We thank you for the fellowship that we're going to have as well. Lord, would you encourage and build us up as we encourage and build up one another. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.